Shabbat Shalom. Gather up my family. I got a little video I want to play, and we're going to pray afterwards. But I've been listening to this. This came through a little Torah group, and it's really, really closely related when you listen to all the other songs. But this one right here, I love listening to this. And tonight I said, you know what? I need to play this. Because when you listen to it, we've been in a lot of uncleanness all week long and all week. And sometimes it tends to want to try and get on us, but still, we do our best to keep the character. Sometimes things we might say or do, but He cleanses us and He washes us. And here we are, we're back to Shabbat. From Shabbat to Shabbat. And we had our week of our time of doing our trials, going through the errors, making adjustments, like Yosef did in the pit. Let's go ahead and just play this, and I'll get into that a little bit later. Just got to read the words and listen to the music. Let it minister to you. So, Father, here we are on Shabbat. We've had our week. We've had our trials. We've had our errors. We've listened to your Ruach. We've had our ups and our downs. We might have collected some things along the way, but just to make sure, we come before you, Abba, Father. I ask you to forgive us and cleanse us from any unrighteousness, anything we said, anything we've done, Father, that broke your commands. We ask that we be taken and tossed into the sea, never to be remembered again. And I thank you so much, Yeshua, for praying and intercessing over us. And we thank you, Ruach, for constantly being there with us, telling us when, telling us yes, telling us no. As we do like our father Abraham did. He raised his hands up and said, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. But here I am. Here I am. In a yeshiva with you. And he listened to your voice, your call. And today we have your ruach again. So Jehovah, I thank you so much for giving us your word, a mirror, your esteem, your glory, of what we're supposed to reflect. We thank you, Father, for the mirror. We thank you, Yeshua, for being the mirror. And I pray each and every one of us become the mirror, as the mirror of the Ruach leads us and guides us and counsels us through your word. We thank you so much, Father. We love you and thank you for your word tonight, for teaching us all throughout the week from Shabbat to Shabbat. Thank you for the story, Yosef. It's the character that we need to build and learn from. We just thank and praise you in the name of Yeshua. That song right there just really helps me during the week. Because at the end of the day, we got to throw those things into the sea that they'll never be remembered again. And learn to make those necessary adjustments. Because Yosef had to do that. He had no choice. He's in the pit. He's in the prison. And I thank the Father each week as I thank you, Father, for letting me stay in the pit and the prison till I learn to get this character right so I can be able to reflect. And so we in Mechetz, and Yosef, Mechetz is at the end, completion. And so he's proven himself now through the pit. And we talked about the pit as Bor. We talked about Bor in the pit. So he's gone through all those things, and it got to the place that Yehovah says, now I can use you. I know you're going to reflect me, and you're going to listen to me, and he does. And then, so that's even told when Pharaoh says, a man in whom the spirit of Elohim, he saw the mirror. He's looking at the mirror. He sees a reflection of Yehovah. When we pick up our Bibles, every one of us, we got a mirror. Brother Rob, the other evening, he put a mirror right there. And then we had some word and talked about some reflection on it. Pastor reflected on a couple of things about it. And then during my week, I'm doing my studies. I'm like, back in Jacob and James, he talks about a man looking in the mirror, and when he walks away, don't forget what manner of man he was. Because when you look in the mirror, you see Yehovah's esteem. When you look in the mirror, you see your flaws, and you got to work on these flaws. But when you walk away, like we come here, and we learn a Hebrew word, it's an English word at first, and we open it up, and we look at its Hebrew meaning, and we look at the letters and their pictograph meanings. We take it home. We don't leave it here. Pastor gives a message. It's not for us to hear. Because in Jacob it says, be not a hearer only, but a doer of the word. What did Yosef have to do? He had to prove every time he went in error, he had to fix it. He had to take from the mirror, and he had to take it with him. Don't forget what manner a man you are, you have to put this into action to be this character. It's not just a message to listen to. It does us no good to just hear it. You can't just hear it and go home and hear it. So Brother Scott brought out a word, a very important word, and it ministered to me. And it brought us to the English word, what's that English word? Bedeck. Yeah, bedeck. Sometimes I miss it, but sometimes I get it. But it's bedeck. And I got it in here. I understand what he's talking about when he says bedeck. And so Brother Scott went in there, and he got it from, it was in Bereshit 41:16. It's not in me. He says, it's not in me. So that's just the English word. And I was able to share this the other night in a little story, you know, was talking about it, that, you know, it's one thing to be able to listen to the message, but it's another thing when you have to put that into action and you go through it. You're not going to get it by just hearing what Yeshua did. You're not just going to get it by hearing what Joseph did. You're not going to get it by what Pastor Jesse is talking about. I never forget that. He says, you can't just keep holding on to my tailcoat. You got to get this for yourself. You have to be trained during the week and take this. I was thinking about this while I was in the shower earlier. If I give a grocery list to my wife, or she gives me a grocery list, and she starts telling me, get this grocery list and write it down. I'm going to need roast beef. I'm going to need a certain kind of roast beef. I'm going to need some olives, a certain type of olives. I'm going to need chicken. I'm going to need this. And gives me a long, long list of stuff that I'm going to need to get. But if I don't write a list down and I go to the store, more than likely I'm not going to remember those 100 things I got to get. I got to write it down and I got to bring it with me. And after you go to the store with your list, and you, oh, that's those kind of olives. And that's that kind of roast beef. Oh, that's that kind of paper towels. Because they got all kind of paper towels. They got this kind of brand. They got that kind of brand. In detail, this is what I want. But you go to the store, I don't need that list. What was that again? What was it again? My point is, Brother Scott brought us a great message on the word bedek. But I've remembered it really good on Adah. But I didn't learn it until I took what he said and I took it home. I'm like, okay, how did he get to this one? How did he get to that one? Because I need to know this for myself. I need to use this to fix me. And I'll be able to reflect it to somebody else once I fix me and I've got it down pat. And so I was going through it on my own, sitting in my truck reading. I'm like, so, okay, he went here. And it's middle day, okay, middle day, is not in me, exempt from. I said, and then he got to this other one, it's odd, and it's ayin and dalet. I'm like, oh, interesting, let me look at these letters here. Oh, it's ayin, to look in, the dalet is a door, to look to the door. Okay, Yeshua's the door, he's the Torah, to look to the Torah. We're looking in the mirror. We're looking with our eyes, ayin, at the door. I'm not going to get this by just listening to Scott. I'm not going to get this by just listening to Pastor. And how am I getting this? It's not just in my Bible. And it's not just on the first page of my Bible on my phone. The set-apart spirit led us to a lot of things. I sat down in my house and I said, we got to have Bible study here too. So we sat down and we had Bible study. I said, everybody got their ear sword? And then one of them says, well, I don't have what you have in there. I'm like, well, how are you going to learn it if you don't have this? We're going to have to know this. Well, I didn't have the Briggs downloaded. How are you going to learn? We're learning to get close into the depths of who Yehovah is. How are we going to get into the depths? The Ruach says, okay, get a Bible. Then the Ruach says, hey, you need to learn what the Hebrew, the history, and all the language is, what it's about. If you want to get close to me, he says, seek, knock, ask. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the fear and respect of Yehovah. And he says, I'll give you all these things. It's past your thinking. You can't think it. You can't pray it enough. You're going to have to find it for yourself, and he'll show you. And so he led us to, so Casey, she's like, oh, all these translations. How did y'all find scriptures? Ruach HaKodesh. How else did you go find it? How do we know about when you look into my glory, my esteem? Who brought that? Who told us that? The Ruach did. The voice of Yah. He came. How are we going to know what the hundreds of religions, the hundreds of translations? Because you listen. The Ruach leads you here, runs into this person there to find it over here. And it's just, how did I find that song? Because I'm looking on my phone. I have the Torah groups. And one of these ladies says, inspired by Yehovah, says, hey, y'all going to like this. And so I pulled it up, and I listened to Maya a lot in the past. I brought it up. Rather, anybody else wants to join and listen, that's on you. But I know what draws me close and what's closely fit in the scripture. This is helping me grow. This is becoming a son. When you get adopted in, you become a son. And you want to learn more of your father. And so I'm like, man, this draws me in. And it made me, it's so anointed in that music. Everyone you listen to before you even get to the first verse, it's like you're weeping because it's anointed. I don't know what they're doing, But it's anointed. It makes me weep before I even listen to the first verse. And there's a lot of them. And it's not even on iTunes or whatever you call it. It's only on YouTube. That's the only place it is. There is no monies and stuff involved. It's just incredible to listen to that, and it draws you in. It's revelations. It's everything we're talking about in the beginning. It's about a Ruach. And so the Ruach brings us scripture, the scriptures version, which is closely related and pulls us in there. And then we start looking on Esau. And they got all the scholars that's gotten together and putting it to as close as you could fit it. And the Ruach takes you from there. We started with Torah portions and slides. That's just a tool to draw us into here, to draw us into, I want to know. I want to get close. I want to understand this. And so I went on my own terms and went, okay, it's odd. It's iron. And it's a dad when you look into the door. And then what's the next part? It's hey. It's a man who surrenders himself. And he bedecks him. He bedecks him. He looks to the door and he bedecks him. What are we doing? We're being bedecked. That's what we've been doing. We're being bedecked. And so this scripture here with this one word, you have to go in there to your Bible app. You go to Esau. And you go to Genesis 41:16 on your Esau. And Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. And the English word is not in me. It's Strong's H1107. It's Biladay, apart from, except, without, besides. And then you go to the next part, H5703. And it's add, perpetually, forever, continuing, future, ancient, continual, existence. Who are we looking at? The all-existing one. Yehovah. We're looking at Yehovah. That's who we're looking at. The all continuous, existent, forever, God's existence. That's who we're looking at. A, the A in English, it's an ayin. We look into and Dalet, the door. We're looking into the door. What did Abraham do when he come to Yeshiva? He come to the tent. He come to look up to Yehovah. And he come to learn, taste, and see that he is good. And all that he is, this is who he is. And he had to learn to listen to his voice. He had to show up. He had to go there and look into. And then he said, I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing. Here I am. Here I am. And Yehovah would lead him. And that's how he did what he did. And so what we're doing today, we put our hands up and he's leading us during the week. And our flesh wants to raise up and we bring in the mirror with us. We're reminded because you keep going over it. And over it, and you learn to listen to the set apart spirit, and he tells you, trust me, I know you don't see what I'm talking about. You don't understand this. I can't tell you how many times this week to go duck hunting with Dr. Donaldson, he would say, where are we going? And I studied it and I prayed about it. And the next morning, hey, what about this place, this place, this place? And I go outside, and now all those places, I'm like, I don't know anything. I don't know what I'm doing. All I know is that I'm listening to you. And he'll tell you, do what I told you the first time. Don't get sidetracked. Boom, limits the first day. Boom, limits the second day. Boom, limits the third day. It was incredible. And it's like, good job, good job. And I'm doing like Joseph was doing with Pharaoh. You see what I'm saying? Pharaoh is bedecking him. He looks like Pharaoh, but he's Joseph, and he's doing his job. And at the same time, he's having to hold his part of being the reflection of Yehovah at the same time. So that was the two differences when you read, because when I got to the part, I'm going to get to that part right here. When we get to the part in Genesis 41:16, and we're going to read these couple of verses through 44, because I talked to Scott, I was like, Scott, I see the word. It's Miladay, Adah, Miladay, Adah. And I see it when you get to that word right there. You find it in there. He bedecks you. I said, okay, so when I get down here, he's bedecking him. And he's, and so when Pharaoh, where's that word? It was right. and he dressed him. Okay, yeah, it's in verse 42. When you get to part the party, and he dressed him. So I'm thinking already of this, the same word, bedeck, but it's not the same Hebrew word. I'm like, okay, where's the Hebrew word? It's a different Hebrew word, but he's dressing him. Why? It wouldn't be the same word, but it's different because over here, Yehovah is bedecking him. Right here, Pharaoh is bedecking. There's a big difference between what Yehovah is doing and what Pharaoh's doing. And so I had to get that straight. But the only way you can figure these things out is not just by listening. You got to take it for yourself. You got to study it out. And then you get the clear understanding when you do it. You have to go do it. You got to go do your studying. And then you get to break into who Yehovah is in your life. And it becomes real for you. And it helps you. Now I understand of what bedecking is. So it started in verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, could we find another like him, a man in whom is the spirit of Elohim? And that's what we're doing with our walk. We're learning to wean ourselves off of trusting in the flesh. Because the flesh shorthands you. It only knows so much. And it's faulty. But in the spirit, he knows everything. Look, the spirit of Yehovah, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, understanding, counsel, might, and the fear of Yehovah. We have all of those all at one time leading you and guiding you. I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? Follow me. I know where I'm going. I know everything. I've seen everything. I know from the beginning. I know it from now, and I know it to the end. So you're going to keep trusting your thoughts? You think it's going to happen that way. You don't know why it's happening this way. But go ahead and let me bedeck you. Let me take care of you. Let me lead you by my Ruach. And then Pharaoh said to Yosef, since Elohim has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. Be over my house, you yourself, and at your mouth all my people shall kiss. Only in the throne I am greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, see, I have set you over all the land of Mishreem. And Pharaoh took his seal ring off his hand and put it on Yosef's hand. And he dressed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, bowed the knee, and he set him over all the land of Mishreem. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, I am Pharaoh, and without a word from you, let no man lift his hand or foot in all the land of Mishreem. So Yosef had to go through the pit, the boar. He had to go through the prison, and he had to get it right. Because Yehovah had the plan already over here. Ruach knows where we're going. He's over here already. He says, I'm going to have Pharaoh do some things. He won't understand the dream. And I'm going to have you do some things. And you'll kill your brothers in the end if you don't get it right now. So we learned all that. So he had to get it right. And when Yehovah saw, you got it right. Now I can use you. And you could be a light, and you could be a mirror, and you can reflect me, and at the same time save everyone that was going to die in a famine if it wasn't for Yehovah and for Yosef and for Pharaoh and all these things coming together. So I'm not going to go there right now, maybe later, but the book of Yaakov, James, has got a lot in it. I mean, be not a hearer only, but a doer of the word. Be reflecting. There's a lot of stuff in there. But I was thinking about the mirror. And I went to John chapter 15. And once you understand what the mirror is, and get a clear understanding of working on ourselves and letting the Comforter come and letting him work on us and fix us. There's a time called grief, too, because there's a time that we cross the line. We go ahead and we just push the rules out the way and we cross the line. And if you're one that's been seasoned enough in Yehovah, you know when you've crossed the line because you feel the grief come. Because you already grieved him. You'll feel the grief come. He says, do not grieve him. And so then when you do that, you have to repent. You have to come clean. That's the only way, because there's this other word I found. And they're going to laugh because Brother Rob comes up with a lot of English words out of these Hebrew words. And I was serious and weeping when I said it. When I said it, everybody cracks up laughing. Because it's funny when you hear it, it sounds like an English word. It's, I fail. I fail. There's a darkness, but I fail. But it's a real deal because the judgment already happens. In the flesh, you think you're okay. But Koshek, darkness, and there's I fail. When you cross the line, you have to repent quickly because you may not make it back because you've already been judged already. When I'm reading this and I'm studying this and going through this, I'm like, man, it's almost like when people step over there, it's like they may not even know anything happened to them after they got whacked or died in a car accident or something ever happened. They didn't even see it coming. Or when your Messiah come. Because they're in darkness. That's where we came from. Our spirit was dead. We was in darkness. That's what we learned back from the beginning. There's or light, and there's darkness. And when you cross the line, you go back in darkness. You don't really see what you're doing. It's a fail. And I might get to that. But before I get there, I was thinking about Yeshua when he shows up. I'm like, so he's a mirror. And so no wonder he agitated people. Because when the mirror shows up, it's reflecting your flaws. So it's not you the people's really mad or angry at. It's the Torah. You carry the mirror. You carry the image of Yehovah. You carry what you need to correct. And so there's ones like Shaul, he had that evil spirit come on him. And every time David came around, he hated him. He couldn't stand him because he sees what he should be. That's who he should be. But he rejected it. And so he wanted to kill. Actually, he's not wanting to really kill David. He's wanting to kill himself. He's the one that's got himself in a mess. He's the one that rejected Yehovah. He did it to himself. Yehovah had no choice, but it's what he wanted. When you push enough to reject, then Yehovah says, go ahead and reject. You reject. Samuel, go down there and tell him I rejected him. I'll give it to David. Dawid's going to listen. He'll do it. He'll raise somebody up and he'll listen. His Ruach goes around all the world looking for one. And he'll find somebody. And so that's what happened. And so I was thinking about Yeshua. That's why the Pharisees and Sadducees, that's why the Jews, they got so mad with him. Because he's reflecting all that which is the truth. Which they have added to. In Christianity, they get uneasy about it because they've taken away. We don't need that anymore. But I'm telling you, do it's right here. It's all up in your face. But they don't want to change. There's darkness there. And there's some that don't change. Because Yehovah has a set plan where they couldn't see. There's many that couldn't see at the time for a plan and type and a reason. And the same thing with the Jews. There's a time and a place going to come. Maybe some may change, maybe some may not. And the same thing with Christianity. Some may say, some may not. Because there is a formal reign and there is a latter reign. And he's very merciful. I don't understand what formal and latter reign was. And then after it was talked about a little bit on a Wednesday, I think it was on a midrash. I went back and looked a little bit deeper. I'm like, oh, that's what it is. He keeps extending himself. He keeps giving people chances all the way to the last, even on a deathbed. He loves people, and he'll try everything he can to get us to him. He loves his people. But with Yeshua in John chapter 15, verses 22 through 26, he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. You see, they wasn't able to read it. So he brought it to them and he reflected it and he said it. And when he did, now they have no excuse. Because what happens? You don't know what sin is until you pick up the mirror and you look into it. Oh, I'm doing that. Yeah, you're doing that. It's called sin. You can't do that no more. Oh, I can't eat that? No, don't eat that. Don't say that. Don't participate in that no more. You get all filthy and dirty. You can hang around with them. You can love them. But don't reflect what they do. You no longer do those holidays or things no more. You don't no longer do that anymore. So don't go jump in with them and say, oh, I'm going to be all right. Go ahead and stay in there for too long and be all right and say, oh, this and oh, that. Before you know it, It's going to suck you right in. There's a line you can't pass over. You can love. You can be around. You can go around being led by Ruach, by a set-apart spirit. But you got to be very, very careful not to get sucked back in. But Yeshua, he's listening, and he walks on the scene, and he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. If I did not do among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have both seen and have hated both me and my Father. Because he's speaking the truth, and he's the mirror and exact representation of Yehovah, his Father. His Father. Because it says it right there, seen and have hated both me. He didn't say just me. He didn't say he was the Father. He said both me and my Father. Yeshua has a Father. And he set us free so that we can be adopted and have us a Father and reflect our Father and participate in his constitution and his rules. But that the word might be filled, which was written in their Torah. They hated me without a cause. And when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. And that's who we have today. We have a mirror right there with us every day. But we won't know what that is if we don't get in there and do what he says. What we got to do? And we got to guard and keep. In Devarim chapter 6, he said, you got to guard it. You got to keep it. And then when you go to Proverbs, he says, my son, they're going to entice you. They're going to come on every side. That woman, she came at Joseph on every side because it was supposed to. Come until Joseph just got to that place. He said, no. And after a while, it's just like many of you and us in here have grown. You won't blurt out that dirty word anymore. It's not part of me anymore. I'm grown up in that. I don't do that anymore. But there's parts in us that still do things. And so we got to take our panel on a weekly basis. And I was explaining to this a couple of Wednesdays ago that I went through a couple of weeks in fishing while I was doing good and we was catching a lot of fish and everything's on point, getting up early. And then the customers one morning, and all I could say after I went through it, I said, Yehovah, you did that on purpose. He did it on purpose to Yosef in the pit. He allowed things to happen so we can recognize our folly, our flaw, and make the adjustment not to do that again. And that's the only way you learn is to go through it. You have to go through it. Yosef had to go through it. He had to be tested in that over and over to reflect, now that's my son. He's reflecting me. He's saying no to those things. He doesn't do that anymore. And he was fixed in it. And so now I can give him a wife. Now I can give him children. Now I can give him my esteem. Now I can help him save a lot of people and reflect. So you reflect, and when you start reflecting, that's when you start helping the weak and the lame and the blind to see because you're reflecting. But if you just listen to the message and you go out, how is that going to help somebody? And don't think that we fooling anybody by hiding anything, because once a bunch of us have gotten seasoned enough, the other one may be trying to hide, but you can see right through it. You can see the character. You can see the fruit. So people might think, they don't know what I'm doing. Don't fool yourself. Yehovah knows, and we can see. But I'm not saying that's for me to be a busybody and study you, but I'm just saying it reflects, because Yeshua even says it. When they all came gathered in, you come to one with the wrong attire on. He's like, who are you? I can see right through you. You don't have the right attire on. We talked about that on a Wednesday night. There's a part where it talks about in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about naked, being naked. And we talked about that, me and Casey talked about it, went back to a bare sheet in the beginning. Adam and Eve was clothed in something. They were clothed in the image of Yehovah. And when they sinned, when they rejected what he said, they lost it and became naked. Not just clothes. In case he said it, she says, I said, what they were clothed in? Righteousness. They were clothed in righteousness. Now they lost it. They're naked. So whenever we make a mistake and do the wrong, the righteousness comes off. You're naked and exposed again. We're naked to the elements all around us. And so we've talked about that's what nakedness. And so when you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and you read through that, it's all about keeping righteousness on or losing it. And so we talked about that. So in Ephesians chapter 4, reflecting on grieving the set apart spirit and being grieved ourselves whenever we miss the mark. Because there's the upside whenever you walk in the spirit, it's like shalom, you in completeness. It's like incredible. Things could be happening wrong, but yet you're still uplifted because you know Yehovah is in charge of this and he's got some great plans ahead. This is for a reason. This is going to help not only you, but somebody else down the line that you meet. So you got to grow in this. Ephesians 4:20 says, "But you have not so learned Messiah, if indeed you have heard him and were taught by him, as truth is in Yeshua, that you put off with regard your former behavior, the old man, being corrupt according to desires of the deceit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the renewed man, which was created according to Elohim," there's the word, righteousness, "and righteousness, we get clothed in righteousness and set apartness of the truth. Therefore, having put off the false," the flesh is the false. It thinks, it wants, it's constant in greed. It never has enough. It never gets enough. It's never satisfied. It'll never be satisfied. It'll eat itself away. And so it says, "Therefore, putting off the false, speak truth, each one with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be wroth, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your rage, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, for to work with our hands what is good, so that he has somewhat to share with those in need." There's the mirror reflection, with those in need. Somebody's going to need you in that dark world out there. That's what we're here for. That's what we're doing. "Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for the use of building up, so as to impart what is pleasant to the hearers." There's a lot of times I found myself this week wanting myself to be correct and doing the right things. There was times where, you know, we're out there doing stuff and the doc says, "Hey, you know what? I think I want to go do this or do that." And it's a little bit more. And your answer is, "Oh, yeah, sure, I'll take care of that. I'll get it done. I got it. You sure, Chad? Yep, I'll do it. Hey, I'd like to go get it. It's a little extra. It's an extra little mile." But you just say, "Yeah," because I know, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, you're doing this unto Yehovah, and you're doing it with all your heart. And what was Yosef doing? Unto Yehovah through Pharaoh. That's what he was doing. We'll get the grain, we didn't put him in charge. And so it's incredible to be able to work for somebody, and they trust you enough, and they're happy with you because you're doing what they say. And then after that you've done what they told you, then you understand what they're telling you. Like, "Oh, wow. I see that." And Doc said, "Chad, it took me several years for you to understand that concept." I'm like, "Well, I get it today." You just got to be happy and do it. Just do it. So, "Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only such as good for the use of building up, so as to impart what is pleasant to the hearers. And do not grieve the set-apart spirit of Elohim, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, displeasure and uproar," that's the flesh we got to keep down on a daily basis. So when we wake up in the morning, "My Father, I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing. All I know is Yeshua Messiah." That's what they said in the Brit Hadishah. "All I know is Yeshua Messiah. All I know is Yeshua Messiah." What is Yeshua Messiah? The reflection of the Father. He's the mirror. He's the mirror image and character of what's going to be in the millennial. We're not staying here in this world, in this millennial. We're going to cross over. Rather, we die, he'll raise us, or we'll be alive at his coming. So it says, and do not grieve the set apart spirit. All bitterness and wrath, displeasure and uproar and slander be put away from you, along with all evil, and be kind towards one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as Elohim also forgave you in Messiah. Here's another incident with Yeshua in Luke. When speaking about do not grieve the set apart spirit, or how Yeshua was when he comes, I'm going to read Luke 19:41. And as he came near, he saw the city and he wept over it. He wept over it, saying, if you only knew even today the matters for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Because days shall come upon you when your enemies shall build a rampart around you and surround you. Yeshua was at the right place at the right time, but they wasn't there at the right place at the right time because they wasn't following the set apart spirit. They wasn't doing what was they were being told, the right place at the right time. When you have Yehovah and his Ruach, sometimes it may look kind of weird or strange, but you at the right place at the right time, and you're gonna know it. You know it's right. There's a lot of things that's going to go on in this world, and it's going on right now, but you can't focus on that. You got to focus on Yehovah. You got to listen to him, and that's why it's so important to keep getting more familiar with this. We talked about that on a Wednesday also, that when you get in the gym and you want to build your muscles, if you want to build your biceps or your triceps, you get a certain weight, a little bit at a time. You can't pick up a big one because you'll pull something. So a little bit at a time, one. And then you work with the next one. You don't do it for 3 days and then you move on from there and then go to legs and never pick that one up again. So this is why I'm still here. You understand? Because I'm learning and growing in this. I don't want to leave it behind because I'll keep wanting to exercise this. I see where I make my flaws. So I'm taking my panel. We learned about the panel. You're going to learn that through the Hebrew, through the ancient Hebrew. You go in there and you have that panel. That goat hair gets kind of brittle and sunbeat. And the panel's not really good. It needs to be worked on. So you take that, and whatever flaw you have in your life, whatever you're working on, I made a mistake again with that one. I'm going to work on that one. And you keep taking the word, and you keep applying it. Listen to the Ruach. And the next time, you're going to see when it comes around, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I'm excited to be here with you, and you keep guiding me and directing me. And you see your character change. He says, saying, if you only knew even today the matters for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, because days shall come upon you when your enemies shall build a rampart around you and surround you and press you on all sides and dash you to the ground and your children within you. And they shall not leave, in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. It is so important. This Wednesday night is so important. The Shabbat night is so important. So now we're going to get into this word in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. So if you know how to do your e-sword, we're going to step through it real slow. If you don't know, maybe it is the opportunity because we're in class. Get on with somebody. Because I remember when I was in class in school, if I missed something or I didn't understand something, I used to go to one of my good friends, Doc Robinson. I said, hey, Doc, I don't understand this. Well, let me show you. And he'd show me so I could pass my test. If you don't know, you don't just guess. Because whenever the trial comes, more than likely you're going to fail. Because you should have picked up your notes and tried to learn it. You should at least try. Just listening is not going to be enough. So we go in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. So when we read this, the way of the wrong is like darkness. They do not know at what they stumble. Now this English word darkness, when you go into the Hebrew, when we get finished with this, it's going to tell you exactly what that sentence is saying right there. They do not know at what they stumble in one Hebrew word before you even read that sentence. You understand that. That's what the Hebrew does. It explains it all to you in one word if you know the letters, the pictograph meanings. So we're going to go to Strong's H653 on this darkness. And it looks like an APHEL, like I fell. But if you listen to it, the Briggs driver, and you listen to it say it to you, it says, I fail. And when I said that, my family started laughing. Yep, you take the wrong step, I fail. I messed up. So you never forget it. I fail. I failed in that spot. But they said it would be like a, I'm not picking on those Alabama folks out there if y'all listening, but I fail. I fail. That's what they did to me when I said that. Oh, I fail. I said, that's, so we Cajuns say some crazy things too. So we say some slang words, they say some words, and so it was funny, but just the way that you might want to remember this Hebrew word, I fail. And it's gloomy, and it's dark. And I'm sitting here spending this time with Yehovah. It's gloomy and dark. You're going to come across scriptures now. As you keep doing this, and you're going to like, And the Ruach HaKodesh is going to say, won't you dig that one up? And you dig it up. And you go look at its Hebrew meaning. And then you go look at its roots. And you go look at the verb. And then when you go back and look at it again, you're like, oh my, it fits the whole thing. And it gets incredible. And you grow. And you learn. Gloomy. Dark. And then explains to you how to pronounce it. I fail. So when you look in there, it tells you how to pronounce it. A-W-F-A-L-E. I fail. From an unused root meaning to set as the sun dusky or very dark. And on the letter C there, it's got the aleph, it's got the pe, and it's got the lamed. And it reads, a very dark darkness brought about as a punishment of judgment. So when you step across the line, you just stepped yourself into your judgment, into your punishment. That's what you did. That's what I did. And it tells you that. So when you read that Hebrew word, the aleph, the pe, and the lamed, just like Dawid, he crossed the line into darkness, a fail, and was restored. How? Through repentance. He's in darkness. How's the light going to come back? How am I going to get to see again? In Psalms 51, is it Psalms 51, where he says, oh, Father, your Ruach done left me. Created me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. I'm blind and I can't see with you without you. And I found myself in those errors. I'm like, your heart's pounding. Your stomach feels like it's going to come out. You're like, you can't even pray. You can't even speak. You're just trapped. You know, and you just have to repent. Please, please forgive me. Sometimes he'll restore you in a minute. Sometimes I found it was a couple of hours. Sometimes I felt like it was 2 to 3 days because that thing kept coming in your mind. Coming in your mind, I don't want to think about that anymore. I don't want to see that anymore. I don't want to feel that way anymore about this person, that person, this or that. And then you're reading and you're studying and you're praying and all of a sudden it just, because you can't hold it. He does what he does when he wants to. He holds back as long as he wants to because he's in charge. He's in control. Over Pharaoh and Yosef, he was in control. They couldn't do anything without him. They were done. So he's in control of everything that's going on right now. So that's the one we should really trust in and rely on to the fullness. So we can't see without him when we cross that line. So you repent and you ask, just like Dawid teaches us, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. Take my sins and please cast them to the sea, never to be remembered. I'm going to help me remember and help me. Help me overcome this with the power that you give me. Help me see like Yeshua sees. And so that's what you do. And then that's why I'm here tonight to be able to speak by his Ruach HaKodesh. Because during the week you repent and he restores you and you're able. Because I'm telling you, you're on the hook. You can't go anywhere. There's was it Kepha? He says, where are we supposed to go? There's nowhere to go. Where are we supposed to go? There is no other place to go. You're the eternal life. Where else are we going to go? So there's your word, a fail right there. And so it's the Aleph, it's the Pei, and it's the Lamed. It's a punishment of judgment. And you just led yourself there. You got to think about that. You just led yourself there. Become the head, you speak. And so we're going to go a little bit further down. That was, you don't have to go there, but that was in Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. So now I start looking at this Hebrew word. In Psalms 51:10, there's this word, creating me a clean heart. That word clean is Strong's H2889. And it's tahor. Pure, clean. And when you get to the ancient Hebrew, it says the pictograph is a picture of a basket or other container. And the resh, the head, is a picture of a man. Combined, these mean to contain a man, a wall that contains one for protection or as a jail. When we talked about with Yosef, he was in a pit, and he was in a prison. Some of the things that you may think that is not so fun, you got to get used to it because you're sealed and you're protected when you're clean. So when you read it, creating me a clean heart. My notes started all over again. Okay. Creating me, it says, combine, these mean contain a man, a wall that contains one for protection. So you let the Father, the potter, take us back into his hands, his light, his protection, and his care. He cleans us up. He cleans us up from a prison of darkness and judgment to freedom in the Father's care. He dresses us up. We are sons of light. So we become clean, we become contained, clear and pure and protected. Then we get to renew. Create me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew. This renew is Kadash. Strong H2318. It's to renew, it's to repair, it's to rebuild. What he talks about over and over in the prophets, he talks about rebuilding Israel. He talks about rebuilding Ephraim, and Manasseh. He talks about rebuilding us. We're lost in the flesh. We're going to die. Now we get adopted into sons. Now he's got rules in his house. And so he puts a ring on our finger, a robe on our back, and he puts that necklace. All those are great meanings, a lot of things. And so I've been staying right here learning this and studying this and applying it to my life. As I know, as we get to the next part, we're going to be learning more about that. And so I've just been doing that a lot, letting Pastor, Rob, Scott, they're going into the next little parts. And then before I get to Wednesday, I'm taking all of this, and I'm taking it in. I'm taking all of this in, and I'm studying it for myself. And I'm applying it and looking at it in my life in real time today. How can I apply this in my life that I'm living during the week? I need to take this, and this is my mirror, and it's got to reflect, and I got to reflect. And it takes a little time to do this, but you got to keep doing it over and over and over and over. The minute you set it down and say, I'll be okay, that's the flesh. The flesh says set it down for a little while, because then you're going to start forgetting. You're not going to be as strong. And then you're not going to want to get up a little bit early again, and it'll go away. You know, you can get in a routine doing something, but if you get out of that routine and go to doing something else, and then you got to go back, oh, you got to start all over again. I tell you what, I went fishing for a long time. And then for a while, I wasn't getting up early to go do the duck hunting as early as I used to. Well, this past week, it's time to hunt. Not one day, not 2 days. 5 days straight, get up early, make sure I'm with the Father, prayed up, word, get as much as you can, a little bit here, a little bit there, get out there early, you're studying, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're talking to a lot of people, a lot of stuff going on during the day, you got to fuel up the boat, you got to get it ready, get home, get you a lunch, go take care of the dogs, get back down there again, talk to them about where we're going to go tomorrow, go back down there and patrol, get back in, take care of my dogs, go back home. Get home, get back in my word, and pray up and study up. And that's 5 days, and it gets very tiresome, but then it's gotten better and better and better. It just takes a little time to get back in the flow of things again. It gets better. At first, it's tiresome, and it gets better, and it gets better, and it gets better. So, Kadash is to renew, repair, rebuild. In the ancient Hebrew, it says to renew the new moon, the first crescent of the moon as the renewal of the moon, the first day of the month, restoration, to make something like new, to repair, to restore, replacement. Something that is new is renewed, restored, or repaired. So he says, create in me a clean heart. Now you're getting back in the light. You're getting shielded. Oh, Elohim. And renew to keep me steadfast in the spirit. Listening to the Ruach. Steadfast. Being rebuilt again. Your character's being rebuilt. Because look, when you reject him and you walk away, that's where you left your character. It stayed right there. Now you got to come back and repent. And he's going to let you start getting repaired again. And he's going to shield you. He's going to protect you again. And we become sons. But when we put it down, you're no more sons. You're back to being, what's that word for it? An illegitimate child or a bastard. You go back to doing what you was doing before. When he found you lost, when he found you all filthy and dirty, he cleaned you up. And so you get right back. And that's what he did with his son when he came back and he come to himself and said, hey, even the servants are doing better than me. I come back to my father. And his father accepted him back. Created me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Steadfast. This word steadfast is kun. Strong's H3559. Kun. To be firm, stable, to be established, to be set up, to be fixed. To be securely determined, to be securely determined, to be directed aright, to be fixed, steadfast. And I pray that a lot. I say, Father, you know, I get off sometimes. Please help me to stay steadfast like Yeshua. I want to stay steadfast. I want to continually be steadfast. Get me stronger, keep me strengthened, to be prepared, to be arranged, and to be shalom, to be settled, to be complete and settled. In the ancient Hebrew, the pictograph of the hand is a picture of the palm, and the nun is a picture of a seed. Combined, these mean opening of a seed. When the seed opens the roots, opening of a seed, when the seed opens, the roots begin to form the base of the plant by going down into the soil. The plant rises out of the ground, forming the stalk of the plant. A tall tree can only stand tall and firm because of the strong root system which supports it. And so as you allow His character to come upon you, your root system grows deeper and deeper. And this little seed begins to sprout. When one becomes born again, his spirit starts to take root and it starts to grow. He uses all these parables like a garden. That's how it was in a garden. Everything starts taking root and it starts growing. And it needs light to grow. It needs water to grow. You need Yehovah to grow. Without Yehovah, there's no form of life. You have to have Him to live. And so when you read His word and He reflects on you, it becomes life. Your seed is opened up and it starts growing and you get rooted and grounded and you become steadfast. But you got to stay with it. You got to constantly do it over and over and over. Out of one word in English, in the Hebrew, it tells you all that definition right there. So create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit. What is this spirit within me? Then you got the Ruach, that's the H7307, the spirit of Yehovah, our Elohim. Remember, then you got all seven spirits at one in you, giving you strength. I'm like, in my capacity, in my thoughts, I can only know so much. Governors, presidents, He's told us in His word, all of these, they could have the most smartest of smarts. Even when they built the Tower of Babel, they get so far and it was limited, and He dumbfounded them with the languages. It just shows that Yehovah is in charge. You can't override Him, and He knows everything, and we need Him. We're lost in our human thinking since the fall in the garden with a sinful nature. It thinks, and it just wants to do what it wants, but it's faulty. It's got flaws, but He can help us endure to the end with His Ruach HaKodesh. So we have all seven spirits at once. We have His intrinsic nature. That's Him. That's what the menorah stands for. His set-apart spirit. His intrinsic nature. His wisdom. His knowledge. His understanding. His counsel. His might. And the fear and respect due to Him. And so when He puts the ring on the finger, it gives Him authority. Yeshua has authority. And so when I'm in prayer, I think about it. I'm a son and I have authority. My wife's been going through some illnesses and I'm like, I thank You, Father. You know, I'm not going to worry about it. All I know is You give me authority. I'm the head. You're my head. And I just pray over her, Father. This too shall pass. And whatever happens, I know I trust that You're in control. And if there's anything I've done, please, I repent to make sure I didn't cause this to come on my family. Something I did wrong. Because we can cause the enemy to come in if we do something wrong as well. We just got to throw in all the things in there that could be to continue to work on us and also pray. In the ancient Hebrew, Strong's H7307, the pictograph is a picture of the resh, is a picture of the head of a man. And it's a chet, it's the wall, it's a picture of a wall, the chet. The head of a man is a picture of the wall that separates the inside from the outside. Combined, these mean a man outside. The responsibilities of the nomad outside of the tent include the feeding, watering, and caring for the livestock. Livestock are healthier and more productive when on a routine. Remember we talked about a routine? When you're on a routine, with the Ruach, you stay on a routine. He'll comfort you. He'll guide you. He'll tell you to get up when you don't feel like getting up. He'll tell you to be quiet when you don't want to be quiet. And He lines it all up with the Torah. It's all lined up with His rules, with His word. It's all lined up in the mirror. And when you adjust that, then you become that mirror for somebody else without even having to say a word. You just show up and it agitates people. Or you show up and they want to know what you have. There was many people from this last Shabbat that said, I never heard of Yosef in a coat of many colors like that. That was incredible. And so we got to sit down and share and talk about it. That's people that's drawn to the light. They want to see. But then you got those that don't want it because they reject it, like Shaul. Oh, I hate them. Why they act like that? Oh, the Torah. I don't know the Torah. Why do you want to be like that? Why can't we go back to our... And so it's a long story, but make a long story short. So this is what the Ruach is used for. It says, the responsibilities of a nomad outside the tent include the feeding, watering, and caring for the livestock. Livestock are healthier and more reproductive when on a routine. Therefore, the man follows a routine or a prescribed path. There's a narrow path that we're supposed to be on each day when caring for his livestock. He is always right. He knows where we are, where we're going, what to do, and how to do it at any given time. You got to believe that. He knows where we're going, what's going on, how it's going to go down at any given time. That's what the Ruach does. In the flesh, you'll guess and you'll come up with stuff in your mind that's not even real. You might fear so much that you go to Google online if you have a health issue and believe what doctors or somebody's got to say. And before you know it, you just brought by faith something negative into fruition into your body that you shouldn't, you didn't even have because you didn't listen to the Ruach. The Ruach will tell you what to do, where to go. And he'll run people right into your life like, oh man, I didn't see that one coming. That's incredible. Without the Ruach, you would have never met Jared and Jasmine. That's incredible. And I love them. And now we've been praying for them. And they got a healthy baby. And they're going to be raised in the name of Yehovah. They're going to be raised up in a good home. That baby's going to be raised up in a good home. Not going to be raised up in darkness and chaos and split homes. And have to start all over again. And maybe by the grace of Yehovah, run into something when it would get older, like we did, to get out of the darkness and into the light. It's a chance. But it's incredible to see their lives. And I love them. I'm so thankful for that. He brought them into our lives. I've been learning so much from them as a residual effect, us too. And so it's incredible. He says, gather. I'm going to gather you from all four corners of the earth. I'm going to put you together. And so going back again, every time I think about, I don't know where I'm going, I always think of Abraham. I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing. All I know is here I am. And Yah can do a lot with somebody that says, here I am. He can do a lot with that. So there you go. Create in me a clean heart. O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Within me is Strong's 87130, Kareb. Kareb. Within me. So we just got finished talking about it's not in me. We learned what not in me is, and it brought us to Bedek from Adah. Remember Adah, the iron, the Dalet, and the hay. So here I am, he's Bedekking me. Here I am, back to Abraham again. Here I am, he's Bedekking me. That's what Yosef had to do. He didn't say, oh, why you got me in this prison? He had to say, here I am. It's been a year, here I am. It's going on 2 years, here I am. Here I am, and then all of a sudden, hey, Yosef. We're going to clean you up. You're going to see Pharaoh. Oh, really? Here we go. Here I am. Here I am. Here you are. He proved himself right unto Yehovah. Kareb. Midst, among, in a part, middle, inward part, physical sense, as a seat of thought and emotion, as a faculty of thought and emotion, in the midst, among, from among, entrails. And then we have a root word for Karab. A root word. This is Strong's 87126. Karab. Karab. To come near. To approach. Oh, to enter in. We're going into the door. Yeshiva. We're entering in. To approach. To draw near. And then you can come near to Yehovah. You can't come near Yehovah until you're clean. No flesh can glory in my presence. You have to repent. You have to come clean. You can't come in when you want. He said, who are you? You don't have the proper attire on. Take him outside where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You got to put the proper attire on before you come before Yehovah. You can't come smelling like a pig. You got to come clean. You got to repent. You got to notice I have some folly. And once you get clean and he sees that, then you can come to him. Then you can come to him. It says to approach, to draw near, karab, to cause to approach, to bring near, cause to draw near, to bring present. In the ancient Hebrew, a bringing, giving, approaching of someone or something to be close, at hand, or among. Isn't it good whenever he's close to you? Isn't it good when you hear his voice? Isn't it good when you feel his strength and power because you listen and obey him? It's all about listening and obeying. And guarding and keeping. To come near. To bring nigh. To approach, at hand. The sense of being close. And the sense of coming near. Among, inward, nigh. As a near relative. Near, nigh, neighbor, approach, kinfolk, kinsmen. Big difference being darkness, a veil, and being in his light, his oil, his presence. So that's a big difference. You're going to be either or. You'll be serving one or the other. So I think you gave me my cards, right? That was it? Okay. So the next thing I was going to get into, you can go look over it again. That really drew me was when we talked about, let me see. It was in First, we're just going to call it right there. It was in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about the wisdom of, yet we speak wisdom among those who are perfect and not the wisdom of this age. Know the rules of this age that are being brought to naught, but we speak the wisdom of Elohim. So there's a big difference than the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of Elohim. The wisdom of Elohim is in his set-apart spirit. The wisdom of the world is in the flesh and on the outward, trying to live, and it's not going to live. It won't. It rules, it wants to reign, and it stomps everybody down to get what it wants. That's what the whole world is ruled by, and you will never understand by that kind of ruling. So we're going to stop right there until in the morning. Shabbat shalom, everybody. And does anybody have anything?